Checkerfin. Checkerfin.
Boredom is always in my head.
Checkerfin. Checkerfin.
Yes.
It's the education gadfly.
Sex, sex.
Mike and Rick tell you
early college, high school, pain and suffering,
learning and teaching.
In your face, in your face,
your
face.
Listen to your words that they be preaching. Cause here's the education gadfly show. Yeah. It's the education gadfly show.
Hello, this is your host Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation. Here with my guest co-host, our very own Denver Nugget, Kobe Loop.
Thanks, Mike.
Welcome, Kobe. Kobe, your work here at the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation. I think I've seen you around the water cooler and stuff. What do you do here?
Well, you probably haven't seen me because I'm in that dark room down on the seventh floor, you know.
Yes. Well, no. Kobe produces the Education Gadfly Show, and he's got his big call today. He's guest co-hosting because, as everybody knows, our regular host, Rick Hess, is on his honeymoon.
Still hard to believe.
Still hard to believe that Rick Hess is married. And it was quite a wedding. I got to tell you all, it was the funniest wedding I've ever been to in my life. And I don't think it's ever going to be surpassed. Rick's cousin married him. His cousin's not a minister. He's actually a private investigator. But I think he got permission to do the ceremony, I don't know, on the internet or something. He gave a 25-minute stand-up routine at the beginning of the ceremony, and it was very good. We're going to try to get him on the show sometime.
I'm curious if Rick committed any major faux pas like he's known to do on this show.
No, let's see. The one thing is when the guy said for richer or for poorer, Rick's eyes bulged out a little bit at the poorer. Like, he didn't like that idea. But otherwise, no. I mean, it was a very casual wedding. Rick was there. He was there in shirt sleeves. He just was very mellow. But it was exciting. And Jolene, you know, his now wife, when she came down the aisle, so to speak, they were singing an instrumental version of Jolene by Dolly Parton, which was really cool. Jolene. So speaking of singing, did you see the American Idol Gives Back show last night, Kobe?
No, I haven't seen that. I prefer Oprah's Big Give.
Ah, well, so. Okay, that's fair. But it was star-studded. I mean, all kinds of stars were out. Brad Pitt was there. And Miley Cyrus, otherwise known as Hannah Montana. Who, you know, is this whole Disney thing, and I've been watching this a little bit because my nieces are into it. And it seemed like, you know, a couple years ago she was very into the very kind of innocent pop star thing. But I don't know. I worry she's going the way of Britney Spears.
She's growing up.
I don't know. I just thought that some of her dance moves were a little risque last night, you know, to be a role model for six-year-olds. Do you have an opinion on any of this stuff, Kobe?
No, I just want to get straight to the substance of the education stuff.
Kobe Loop. No Rick Hess, but that's okay. Kobe is going to get in here with the game of Pardon the Gadfly, after which we're going to hear from Jeff Kuhner with our Education Outrage of the Week, and then Liam's going to impart some education news of the weird. So, let's get rolling.
I'm psyched.
You look psyched.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Denver Nuggets, big game tonight, huh?
Very big. They're in a tight race for the eighth playoff spot in the West, and they're playing the team against whom they're competing for that final spot, so
that's
exciting. Huge game,
Mike. Huge. Kobe is, of course, from Denver, so he's stoked. Okay, Christina, let's get started with Pardon the Gadfly.
Catholic schools are in crisis. Over 1,300 have closed down since 1990, displacing 300,000 students, many of them poor and most of them in the inner city. A new report by Fordham out today, released on the eve of the Pope's historic visit to the U.S., recommends, among other things, making Catholic schools free for all Catholics and converting other inner city Catholic schools to charters. Is this the right decision?
Oh, I start?
Yeah, Kobe, you're playing Rick's part here. You go first.
Oh, I can never remember the order. I think the charter school idea is probably pretty good. Of course, it's, you know, not going to work for a lot of people because they're Catholic schools. And there's the fear that if they convert to public schools, they'll lose kind of everything that makes them, that keeps them strong. On the other hand, I like this free Catholic schools thing. It would be nice if the church kind of rejigged its mission, as I guess they're doing in, what city is it? Wichita. To kind of, you know, have this concerted effort from all parts to make it a viable free schooling option for kids in these cities.
Well, I disagree entirely. I think these are terrible ideas.
I knew you would.
I'm just kidding. It's sort of our report. So, yes, we think these are good ideas. But this is very interesting. In Wichita, Kansas, which is, I know, not known for its Catholicism, but, you know, Catholics are about 10% of the population in Kansas. And in Wichita, the church said, look, we are no longer going to charge tuition for Catholic education. It's going to be free for all Catholics. And this has had a huge impact on making it affordable, of course, for middle class and lower income families to participate. The way they did that is by asking parishioners to tithe, to dig into their pockets and give a significant portion, upwards of 8% of their salaries, in order to support these schools. And what's exciting is that people in Wichita said yes.
It's surprising that they do that, though. I mean, it's almost like taxpayers.
It is
coughing up their money for.
It's exactly like taxpayers. But what we heard from Wichita was that people really believe in this religious mission of the Catholic education. And this is an important distinction. It seemed like people in Wichita were happy to pay for Catholic education for Catholic kids because they believed in that mission of the church. It's not clear if they would do the same for non-Catholics, which is, of course, the situation we have in many of our big cities in the Midwest and in the East, where we've got these Catholic schools and neighborhoods that no longer have very many Catholic children, in large part as African-American students who are not Catholic. And that brings us to the second question, which is, what do you do about those schools? Clearly, in our opinion, public funding has got to be part of the solution because philanthropy is just not sustainable. And vouchers would be great, but it doesn't seem like people are all that interested in supporting voucher programs, or at least that hasn't gone all that well. So converting to charters might be the best thing we got. Kobe, would I?
You know what? I actually think a good solution would be.
What's that?
To try to recruit more graduating students into seminary.
I agree. You know, I was talking with a reporter
and
yesterday.
Nunneries.
Who said the real problem is that we don't have enough people going into the nunneries.
Convents.
Into convents. That's right. And that's the fundamental solution here. We got to convince more women to go into convents, become nuns, and teach for free in our Catholic schools.
That's it.
Christina, what do you think about that?
Well, you failed. Remember, the whole Vatican II change was that they gave lay people positions of power, so everybody left.
And maybe that was a big mistake.
You know, I think people are perfectly willing to go into the teaching corps, like some of us were in college, but I won't go there.
Christina wanted to go into help teach when she came out of Notre Dame. What do you think? Did you ever think about becoming a nun, Christina?
Not so much, no. Topic two, a school outside Buffalo is banning students from extracurricular activities, such as school dances, if their grades slip or if they act out in class. Do these sort of actions make schools into, quote, prisons, unquote, as education guru Deborah Meyer argues?
You know, this is very interesting. Deborah Meyer gets quoted saying that a school is like a prison because they're not allowing students to go to school dances. Usually she just considers schools in general prisons. You know, so this seems, you know, she talks about how, you know, because of discipline and structures and boring curriculum that schools, going to school is like going to a prison. So if that's true, not being allowed to go to a school dance is like a get out of jail free card.
It's like a supermax high security prison.
Oh, that's interesting.
Actually.
Too. But it's ridiculous because look, all they're doing is saying, look, if your grades are bad, you can't go to school dances, you can't participate in sports, extracurricular activities. This seems like good incentive to me.
Yeah, it's really too bad that Rick's not here because he'd be able to muster that venom that he had last week against, you know, the kids that are just think they have the right to just trample all over adults everywhere, and they really need just like a swift kick right to the rear end. That's what he was saying, something like that. Right?
Your eyes got to bulge out more if you're going to try to do a Rick impersonation.
I know, I'll never be able to equal that energy.
But what do you think, Kobe? I mean, is this reasonable? Some people say if you do this, the very kids who are on the margins. They're just going to lose interest in school. They're going to drop out.
Well, my biggest problem when we talk about all this stuff is that we talk about it as if it has to be this way or the other for every school in America. Mm-hmm. What would be nice is if things like fairly reasonable policies like this, as they said, let schools try it and not all schools have to do it. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, anytime any kind of pedagogical debate comes up, we have to try to apply it to all schools everywhere.
Yeah, I guess that's right. But we are the Education Gadfly Show, so we do comment on education.
That's a comment on education. It's just distinguishing between individual schools instead of thinking of education as one big.
All right, but if you were Principal Loop, would you try these kinds of things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Resolved. Topic number three.
Yeah, we didn't even have to have a bell. Last one, a new study out of Philadelphia shows that schools that cut out junk food from the lunch menu and from vending machines, plus taught kids about healthy eating habits, saw their rate of kids getting fat go down. Is this likely to change the way schools across America deal with food and health?
I doubt it. I don't know how many school administrators will read this report. Just this one report, I don't see how it's going to change anything. But I mean, you know, it would be nice if principals started kind of, you know, Liam has said this, and it's, why do you need a report to know to put healthy schools in the food, healthy food in your school. Mm-hmm. The only reason I can think of to keep junk food in the school is if the school has some lucrative contract with Coca-Cola, for instance, which I'm pretty sure my school district did. They got like $1 million to have these vending machines.
Well, that's exactly.
But otherwise, it's, you know, it's like, come on.
But that's what's happening, right? I mean, it's a cost-benefit analysis. You got to assume that it costs more to give students this healthier food. They might have to give up these lucrative contracts. So that's a difficult decision if that's where all their discretionary money is coming from. And so I think this kind of study could be very important for people to say, wow, you know, if you actually make these changes, not only is make intuitive sense, but we have clear evidence that it's going to have lead to less kids being fat.
Yeah. On the other hand, I think that probably, I obviously don't know this for sure, but I think that these fears about health food being so expensive are a little overblown, especially now as this the kind of health food movement is really revving up.
Have you shopped at Whole Foods lately?
Well, Whole Foods has their own like 365 brand and everything's totally cheap. Plus, if you go to just a Giant, they have their own kind of organic brands now. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you have to be eating organic food anyway. I mean, buying vegetables is not that expensive. Mm-hmm. Yes, like high fructose corn syrup is cheap, but it's not like normal edible food is rising like oil prices.
Well, it is rising like oil prices because, you know.
Carrots?
Corn, because so many people are now converting corn.
Yeah, we don't want to eat corn. That's what
there are riots in Egypt and all around the world, according to the Wall Street Journal today, because of inflation. So,
well, unfortunately for those poor Egyptian kids, they'll have to keep eating junk food in their schools.
All right, I guess that might happen. But you know what? I just think that the bottom line here is it's very significant that you change what kids eat, you know, for 6 hours a day, okay, mostly at lunch or some of the snacks, and it has an impact on their weight. That's huge. I mean, we almost see no impact about whatever we do in schools academically on kids. And so the fact that we're having an impact on their weight just based on what's happening in that little slice of their life that's called school, I think that's significant.
I think they should
Liam
also
disagrees. He's going to have a hernia over there.
They should also do this study to see if it improves student achievement. Because frankly, if you eat a Big Mac and a Coke for lunch, there's a pretty good chance that you're just going to crash on your desk mm-hmm. at 2 or 3 p.m.
What'd you have for breakfast?
Waffles.
Really? That explains a lot. Okay.
And coffee.
That is all the time we have for Pardon the Gadfly. Nicely played, Kobe. It's now that time for our Education Outrage of the Week. Jeff Kuhner, you know, let's be honest. Last week's Education Outrage was quite depressing. Kind of bummed me out. It's kind of like the American Idol show last night. Very depressing. Is this one going to be depressing too?
Mike, this could be even more depressing. This is a very sad commentary on our school bus drivers. This is a story out of Cleveland, emailed to me by the great Greg Topo, mm-hmm. who's quickly becoming, I think, one of the top education reporters in this country. I'm a big fan of his. Anyway, Greg, thanks for sending me this.
It has nothing to do with the fact that he wrote about our Catholic schools report.
Absolutely nothing whatsoever. I admired him tremendously even before that story, although I love him even more now. I love you, Greg. This story is just so unbelievable. It's Associated Press story. This occurred on Monday, as I said, out of Cleveland. A school bus driver has 27 kids in his bus. He's driving them. He has to go to the bathroom. These are kids from the kindergarten to the seventh grade. All right, innocent little kids. They're sitting in the bus. The bus driver leaves the bus, goes to a gas station restroom. He then gets a knock on the door from the gas station manager saying, literally, your bus is going downhill. It's going down the hill. Nobody's driving the bus. The kids are going to get killed. Get out of the toilet. So the guy gets out of the toilet. They're chasing this bus as it's going downhill. This is a highly trafficked area, a lot of congestion. Kids are jumping out of the side door as the bus is going downhill. Many of them could have been killed by oncoming traffic. Mercifully, thank God, you know, one kid gets out of his seat. I mean, this kid should be the future president of the United States, I'm telling you, or a future leader of our armed forces. He grabs the steering wheel and literally steers the bus off the road into a bridge pillar to crash the bus to prevent it from further going downhill, because apparently the hill was getting steeper and steeper, probably saving everybody that was on that bus. Mm. 15 kids were injured, minor injuries, thank the Lord, bumps and bruises, nothing serious. The gas station manager helped get these kids off the bus. The driver eventually, after I guess he put his pants back on and whatever out of the toilet, he comes out and he helps those kids. To me, here's the outrage.
What's the outrage, Jeff?
The bus was chartered by something called the Aqua Limousine Ground Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they find this driver? That's what I want to know. You park a bus literally on the incline of a hill. I guess you don't put your emergency brake on, or I don't know what this guy didn't do. You go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. and the bus starts going downhill. If this is not a case for firing and dismissal, I don't know what isn't. Now, I know the unions out there are going to say, oh, no, he had a bad day. Too bad the bus went down the hill and 27 kids were almost killed. You know, don't you have a bad day, Jeff Cooner? No, not that bad. I've never had a day that bad. So anyway, Mike, look, this is outrageous. On a serious note, I think it really highlights we have to have professional bus drivers. You have to have people who are competent. They have to have certain skill levels. There has to be certain background checks. Now, apparently, I mean, I don't want to beat up on this driver too bad. Apparently, he was so shocked and I think dismayed by what happened. He was complaining of chest pains later on. Mm-hmm. I think the poor guy almost literally got a heart attack when he saw the bus going down the hill. But anyway, the point is, look, you know, this guy should be fired or at least severely reprimanded. And I think Aqua Limousine Ground Transportation, there should be some kind of an independent investigation to find out if they have any more of these kind of incompetent bus drivers, because frankly, the safety of our children are at stake.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff Cooner, with our Education Outrage of the Week. Kobe, let me ask you something about this. You know, in full disclosure, first of all, this was a bus company. This wasn't a school district run bus. We are often arguing for contracting out these sorts of services to get better providers. So, I mean, this is, you know, and especially a libertarian like you, you certainly believe in contracting out. Right?
Didn't
I mean,
Jeff tell us another bus story a few weeks ago about some public school bus driver that did something?
All right. So when it comes to outrageous things happening on buses, it doesn't appear to be a you know, clear link between contracted out services or not. Also, in full disclosure, we should say that the school, the school that hired this school bus, it was a charter school.
Mm.
An Ohio charter school. Another black eye for Ohio charter schools.
I think we should change the name of Jeff's show to Jeff Cooner's Pink Slip of the Week. Because his recommendation is always somebody needs to be fired.
That's not bad.
Or severe. Good. I don't know about severely reprimanded. That seems like
and when I think
slap
Jeff,
on the wrist.
When I think Jeff, I often think pink. Pinko. Pinky. Okay, well, it is now that time that we wait for all week long. Education news of the weird time. With our education news of the weird correspondent, Liam Julian. Liam, what's weird this week?
Mike, this story comes from Greg Topo, the USA Today. A school bus. What? Why is it? What's funny? First of all, I gotta say, this story is more weird than outrageous. So I'm a little dismayed about that.
Okay, so, I mean, we got two bits on this show, right? You know, one by Jeff, one by Liam. You guys work, what, 50 feet away from each other, and you can't coordinate? You can't come up with original material? And furthermore, what, Greg Topo sends you both the same email, and that's it? You just, I mean, you put no work into it otherwise? You just, you're just like lemmings? Come on, Liam, there's got to be something else that happened that was weird this week. Come on, think.
I can't think of anything. I did, you know, what we were talking about earlier about the rising food prices.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you said is true about the rise of corn, in the price of corn. But that's a good thing, right? Because corn is what makes up the junk food. That's so that true. Will actually make
that's,
vegetables.
That's what I was saying. Corn
is actually
the
make
sugar.
Vegetables more competitive in schools.
Okay, Liam, I have an idea for something that's weird. Okay, why don't you tell our listeners about England's education minister?
His name is Ed Balls. And that's education news of the weird.
Okay, that is all the time we have for this week.
Oof, oof, as Rick Hess would say.
Oof, oof, that's right. Well, Rick will, we hope, join us if he makes it back safely from Iceland. Until next week.
I'm Kobe Loop.
And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, signing off.